there, it's Toby, and before you get started on this episode, I wanted to tell you about our sponsor, Retropop Relics. Retropop Relics has been creating some of the coolest 3D printed giant video game cartridges. If you visit RetropopRelics.com, you can see a bunch of the cartridges that are already available. You can get Super Smash Bros., Paper Mario, Super Mario World, Pokemon Red, Blue, Yellow, and even Green. These are perfect decorations for your game room. So again, go check out RetropopRelics.com. And if you use the promo code GENIE at checkout, you'll get 10% off. RetropopRelics.com. Enjoy the show.
This podcast is part of the OIW Podcasting Network.
Welcome to the Secret Levels Podcast. On this week's episode, we get light-footed.
I'm Player One, hiding behind an invisibility cloak, Toby.
And I'm Player Two, motherfucking Arrow Goobs.
This is a retro video game review show where we go over one game per episode. We go over the history, the story, the gameplay, some fun facts, and then
we go right into the rage meter. Speaking of arrows, do you want to take an arrow, shove it up your butthole, and straight out your urethra, and then shoot it out into a loved one while on fire?
Oh, Jesus. So much just happened. That was a lot of rage.
It's fucking rageful.
That's so much rage. Well, Goobs, after we rage, we try to settle down, and we give the game a rating from 1 to 10. Why 1 to 10, my friend?
Because we're some simple thick boys.
Whoa, I didn't do it this time. That was all you with your fancy new equipment and echo.
I had to do it at least once. I think I blew my fucking shoulder out reaching that far, though.
That's right. This is the first recording with your new equipment. I think we should go ahead and state that now, right?
Yes. So hopefully we sound much better. I sound much better.
Hopefully Goobs is coming in 10 times sexier than your average show.
Yeah, we'll see. I haven't tried recording with it yet, so if you don't hear this podcast, we know why.
Yeah.
Goobs fucked up.
Well, Goobs, it's definitely a new year. It's the first episode of the year. What did you pick? You picked this game. I had no clue what this game was.
Yeah, I reached deep down into the cockles of SNES library and pulled out an Artie Lightfoot.
Now, have you ever heard of this game before this playthrough?
No, I have not. I don't even remember seeing this in the stores or like rental places.
No, I had never seen this. Honestly, I kind of like was thinking maybe this is a ROM hack or something or something, and you got it confused. But no, this is definitely a
That was a full-blown release.
It certainly was. So, yeah, not much to report on, like, if we know anything about it, because I don't even remember this, like, in any kind of news articles or Nintendo Power or anything, you know?
I remember some of our friends in Discord saying that they have heard about this and saw it in Nintendo Power or other magazines as well.
Yeah. Now, there was one thing that you warned me. As we were about to play, or as I was about to play it, you were like, yeah, this might be a hidden gem. And I don't think you were very far into it at the point of you saying that. So,
no, because I know how you love your platformers, and it starts off as a decent platformer.
Yeah. So what I'm getting at is that we're going to decide if this is one of those hidden gems, because, you know, that term gets thrown around a lot in the retro gaming community.
After doing some research, I've seen a lot of the big wigs cover this game.
Oh, see, I still hadn't. I didn't find any major our competition.
Like Snatch Drunk, he does a video on it. It's been on Awesome Games Done Quick, like the big marathon.
Okay, so we're not breaking new ground. I was really hoping we
This
work.
Game does have some legs to it.
Okay. I guess, speaking of legs, we should lightfoot into it, right? Tiptoe into it? I'm trying to make a segue.
Tiptoe into your tulips.
All right. Yeah, let's get into some details about it.
So let's jump right into the deets.
This game was released in North America in February 1994, but it was first released in Japan on November 1993, and then later it got a European release in October of 1994. It was developed by ASCII Corporation. I'm sure there's a way to say that, I just don't know how to say it. But it was published by Titus Interactive here in North America and in Europe.
Titus.
And it was only available on the Super Nintendo.
Only for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. Now you're playing with power, super power.
This is a single-player platformer, and there is a story.
Oh, break out your blankies. It's time for story time with Toby.
This adventure starts with a man. A fox. A man-fox type person?
Yes.
And his trusty...
A furry.
Yeah. And his trusty best friend, ball thing called Peck. According to the manual, Peck is always ready to sacrifice himself in order to save his friend, Artie. What a good fucking friend.
Don't we all need someone like that?
Right.
Quick, there's a shooter. Get him, Peck. Just jumps in the way.
Yeah. This duo is searching in a mine in Prism Land. Prism Land. Let me reset.
Oh, not Prison Land?
No.
No. Peck will be dodging different kinds of bullets in Prison Land. Ah, bent over. Peck, protect me.
Peck jumps in to get pecked.
He gets pecked.
When Artie comes across a slate, the slate has a poem written in it. He takes it to an old man to inspect it. The slate says, "Long ago, great power created a rainbow. Many bad things happened, and the great power was lost. Then the power was divided into 7 pieces. When these 7 pieces meet again, any wish will come true. One returned to Earth, another sunk to the bottom of a dark, cold water. Another piece left forgotten in a deserted town, and another one disappeared into the outer sea. The old man could read no more. Then suddenly, the town catches on fire. Artie must go help his town out. Little does he know that Viscotti, the devil, a madman, frogman thing, is out to find these Dragon Balls. I mean, these 7 pieces of a rainbow to make the wish.
I mean, the Chaos Emeralds.
The Chaos. Or the... Well, yeah, it's something. To rule over the world from his castle in the middle of the ocean. We'll also see Nina, a friend of Artie, who wears a red piece of the rainbow. Then we have the mysterious John Jake... John... It's Dawn.
John Jacob Jingleheimer Smith.
That's what I was about to say.
His name is my name, too.
His name is Dawn Jacoby, who is an adventurer who helps you from time to time for no real reason. And that's kind of the story.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, at least there's a story.
There's a
lot
of story.
Gives you a reason.
Yeah.
Reason why you're going there. And there's little cutscenes in between, too.
It's great cutscenes, I might add. So this game should take around 2 to 3 hours to complete my ass.
Yeah. So they say.
How long did it take you to beat?
A lot longer than that.
Well, I can tell you right now, if you go to our YouTube page, you can see the entire stream that I did of it. It took me 3 days to do because I broke it up into 3 days. But overall, because I edited it down to 1 clip, 5 hours. So, Yeah, there's some hard parts in this game. Now, speedrun.com has a record set by Euro Brian Fuyu of 22 minutes and 4 seconds.
Holy hell.
Yeah. There was only 6 speedruns for the longest speedrun, like the one that took the most time out of the 6 was 50 minutes. So, I don't know, maybe I should submit my 5-hour run.
Yeah, you're a contender, Toby.
Okay, well, we're done with the details. Shall we talk about this gameplay?
Hell yeah, let's do her.
So the buttons, first off, the D-pad left and right move you left and right. Down makes you crouch, up and down will make you climb up and down ropes. Y is to throw peg. Because he is a projectile.
Yeah, he's your sacrificial buddy.
Yeah, he's like he like chomps at the enemies when he gets thrown at them, but he's kind of like a boomerang.
He can grab you items too.
Yeah. B is to jump, and when you're in the air, if you press the B button a second time, you'll actually bounce on Artie's tail and jump.
Get
a lot
used
higher.
To that.
Get used to that and figure it out very quickly. Also, you have to press B to jump on the enemy's heads. You can't just jump on enemies' heads. You have to have
use your power tail.
Yeah. Yeah. And the timing is hard. The timing is hard for all of this. In fact, the reason I messed up so much in this game was because timing the jump or timing, you know, forgetting that you have to hold the button down to jump on the enemies.
Yeah, it's very difficult. You can get used to it, though.
Yeah. If you press A near a block, you can grab it and move it around, pressing left and right. Now, for the most useful, unuseful thing that you will only use at the end of this game, holding up will make Artie pull out this invisible cloak that in the manual says he pulls it from his pocket, and he hides behind it for a short time period. Here's the other thing. If you hold it for too long, he just puts it away for no reason.
Yep.
So you can't just, like, hold it and spam it. He puts it away.
Yeah, he does it for like a couple seconds.
Yes. Now, you won't use it throughout this entire game. You'll forget about it completely, and then you'll need it so much at the end.
Yeah, definitely the last half of the game. You'll be pulling it out a lot and playing with it.
Okay, so the items that you can find, there are treasure boxes. This is where you can get a peck. If you get hit, you actually lose peck. It's kind of like having your Mario flower. You know, you have your projectile, but when you get hit, you lose it, right? Or it's like your Donkey Kong when you lose Diddy when you get hit. So he's basically your one hit and your projectile. So you can find a new one, a new peck, because he sacrifices himself and he just ends up in a treasure box.
He's like a Mr. Meeseek. He comes back.
Yeah. You can also find extra lives. You can find the star chips, which the stars you can find and collect throughout all the stages. If you get 100 of them, you get an extra life. But there's
no,
also...
No, you get a one-up.
That's right. You can also find just the one-up image of Artie. It's like a little small sprite of Artie for another...
One up.
You love the echo. Now, sometimes, I only found this once. This only happened to me once in this entire game. Maybe it happened to you more. One of the chests I opened up had drugs in it, and it made my controllers backwards.
Oh, yes. That comes at a hard part of the game as well.
Yeah, so you have to, not only are you being tested because of the hardness of the level, but you are also using the controllers backwards to
yeah, you're pushing left to go right.
Yeah.
And then you're jumping on a single platform, which you can just fit on barely. And you're doing that over spikes while shit's flying at you. Yes, that's so much fun.
Did you have it happen more than once, or was it just that one time?
It was just that one part.
I'm wondering if there was other parts and we just didn't, you know, maybe it's a harder... Because I think there's, in some levels, you can go multiple paths.
Yes.
So.
This was in the caves.
Yeah, I can't recall where it was. I just know it pissed me off.
Then you have to get to a certain point, and in the other chest will be another elixir to
to make it stop. Yeah.
I bet you there's some sick bastard out there who's played the rest of the game like that.
Yeah, and they're just like, fuck it, I'm just going to do it like this.
Yeah, I'm just doing everything backwards now. I'm the backwards man, the backwards man.
I can walk backwards fast as you can.
Toby, do you want some sausage?
So other items that you'll get are things for Peck to transform into. He gets new abilities. Some of his new abilities, he can like air up. He gets like helium in him and you can ride him.
Hey, it turns into Kirby. He even turns pink.
Yeah. If you get a certain upgrade for him, he can break through brick walls and stuff. I think those are the only two.
It turns into a bomb, pretty much.
Yeah. Are those the only two?
As far as I know, yes.
Which I think that's a shame. Like, they should have done a little more with Peck, I feel like, you know? I don't know what you would do, but I don't know. I feel like there was...
Well, for the water, he could swallow you up.
Yeah.
You go inside of him.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like there could have been more to it. Like, hell, one of them could have been one where he, like, inflates a little bit and you, like, you could bounce on him real, you know, I don't know. I'm just talking to my ass now. Some other items that you're going to pick up and find throughout this game, you'll find bombs that you have to put next to walls to blow them up, and they will blow you up, too.
Yeah, those are very particular because they'll flash red. But then you're like, okay, but they don't really give you a timing on how fast they're going to go.
No. Do you know, like, on Super Mario Brothers 2, the bombs start blinking faster when they're about to blow up, right?
Yes.
And that's kind of what you would expect in this, is that they would blink faster. But nope, it just blows up in your fucking hand, and you're like, oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah, they start off blinking already. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then some places, sometimes you got to run a far distance with them, like, okay, well, this is just gonna fucking kill me.
Yeah, so you just kind of have to suicide bomb the wall, just knowing you're gonna take the hit. Also, you'll find some keys, and there's a mirror piece in one of the boss battles that's, I don't know, it's used. We'll talk about it in a minute. Do you want to hit us with the characters, Goobs? Because there are some unique characters in this game.
Yes, I'll start with the characters here. We got Nina. Is a friend of Artie's. She's been friends with him forever. She lives in the suburbs of the mining town and with her old grandfather. So that's the guy that you saw in the beginning or heard from in the beginning. And she has a red piece of the rainbow.
Yeah, and she potentially is the love interest because she gets kidnapped, just like any good, 90s story, the damsel in distress kind of thing.
Then we got her grandfather, the senior. And all the inhabitants of the village trust him and obey him. We got Don Jacoby. What is he, fucking brother of the guy from Papa Roach? A legendary adventurer known to everyone, but few people have seen him.
Listen, I'm going to call him Indiana Jones for the rest of this. And there's no real reason
Indiana
for this
Indiana Jacoby.
Yeah. There's no real reason for this character to be in the game except be the hero, you know? Which is very weird. But I like it. I wish they would have, I don't know. There should have been a little bigger part for him besides just coming in and saving your tail from time to time.
Yeah, and you see his demise, or so you think.
Right.
The old lady, the woman that protects the forest, the green piece of the rainbow of this forest was stolen by Viscotti's band. Fucking yeah. Viscotti.
Viscotti the devil.
He's not a hottie, that Viscotti. We got some lumberjacks. They're inhabitants of the forest. We got some copies. The soldiers of Viscotti's band. Enemies of Artie. We got Morden, commander of Viscotti's band, who attacks the mining town.
Now, that character, is that the other, like, mean-looking fox character?
Yes.
He looks like he's from a different game, and I couldn't...
Looks like he's from fucking Star Fox.
Maybe that's what it was that I was thinking of, but he looks like he's from something else.
Yeah, no, you're totally right with that.
I know what it is. It just came to me. Sonic the Hedgehog had a cartoon series, or there's a character that looks just like him in one of the, not the, like, slapstick, Sonic the Hedgehog series. It's one of the other ones with, like, Amy in them in it.
Okay. Up next, we got Catri, a very nimble wildcat woman who caused Artie many troubles. She will steal the green piece of the rainbow. Hey, oh, she's a bitch.
I'm just saying, if you don't understand furries, wait till you see her.
Meow. We got Ghost in the Pirate.
Hold on. I want to make a point. I was thinking about this because I made that same joke when I was playing it. I was thinking about it and I was like, you know what? Furries make sense. It's a bunch of people that were raised by anthropomorphic animal characters in video games and TV shows. Like, it just makes sense. So, you know, just throwing that out there. Just for extra. That's bonus for you. Go ahead.
Got Gilson the pirate, the captain of the pirate ship. He crisscrosses the ocean. He protects the treasure in the ruins of the South Ocean from the pirate thieves.
Who? Who? He's an owl. I'm an asshole.
Who?
Who?
Beecroft is next, the right hand of Visconti. Sly fellow who desires the top place of the band.
Maybe that's the guy I was thinking of from earlier, from that looks like the Sonic the Hedgehog character.
Yeah, maybe. And then we got Visconti the devil himself. He's the boss. He built this castle in the middle of the ocean. He does a lot of evil things.
As bad guys do. Yeah, and before we go any further, who does he look like? What is the Super Mario Brothers 2 frog's name?
Oh, Wart.
Wart. He looks like Wart with armor.
Wart or Warf? I think it's Wart.
Whatever it is, he looks like that character with some armor on. Which is
he's a big fucking stupid dick.
He's like a frog. Anyways, those are the characters that you're going to be running into.
Nice frog like Danny Froggies.
So, when you start this game, it gives you the choice of a new game or password. I hate the password system in this, Goobs.
Yeah, you do.
If you go watch my stream, because I came back to it the next day and I had to put in the password, and I was like, I have no idea how to do this, because there's three blocks sitting there. You have three different blocks sitting there. They have, what is?
There's a balloon, a log, and a house.
Okay. What are the pictures on the blocks?
It's an orange, grape, and something else.
That's right. Yeah. There are three different fruit, and then you can place them in different spots. You can put it on the roof. You can put it on a stump. You can put it on the table. You can put it on a balloon, or you can put it on the branch of the tree. And that's how you do the password. So.
Yeah, so like they get to level 5. It'll be like the grape goes on the house, orange goes on the
branch,
balloon,
yeah,
and then apple or whatever it is goes on the tree.
Yeah. Yeah,
I thought it was a clever
it's cool
password screen.
But it took me about 10 minutes to figure it out. Like, there's 10 minutes of me being like, what do you do? Like,
it just, and you got pissed at me because I figured it out quick.
I did get back. I was very irritated that you were smarter than me.
You're like, oh, this is going to make you so mad.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay. So I went and found a password. I'm like, done. He's like, how the fuck?
I'm just stupid. When you start the game, you have a very simple player hub. It's in the top left corner. It shows how many lives you have left, and it shows you how many stars you've collected. Simple, nice, easy. It's not like a big distraction up in the corner or anything. I like it. It's simplified as can be. Now, if you die, you start at the beginning of the level, or you can find these little statues that you can jump on the head. They call them monkeys in the manual.
Oh.
Yeah.
To me, they look like cherubs or some shit.
Right. That's kind of what I thought, too. They're monkeys, I guess. And that's basically your checkpoint. So you'll start there. Now, if you lose all your lives, you have to use a continue. You have unlimited continues, which is wonderful. But you start at the beginning of the level after, you know.
Yeah, they send you to jail.
It says Visconti's jail. But we kept calling it Horny Jail. You get put in Horny Jail.
Well, that's what you kept calling it.
Yeah.
Because you're getting turned on by all the 16-bit furry figures.
That's right. But yeah.
There's a reason why he didn't stand up during that stream.
I never stand up for the streams. I'm always hard. Anyways, Yeah, so you jump out of the jail, and then you can either pick to go figure out your crazy-ass password, or you can go play the hardest game of your life. Either way. All right. Now, there are 17 levels. We're going to speed through these. We're not going to give them all as much time as we typically do, because 17 levels.
There's a fuck ton of them.
Right. So, level one is the mining town ablaze. It looks like an old western town. There's lots of spots that are on fire. This one, you have the boss that is a groundhog thing, and it's wearing a spiked hat with biker glasses. And you get to him at the end of this level, and he jumps into a well, and you chase after him. Now, most of the enemies are like these little blue things. Like, they're kind of like Peck a little bit.
Yeah.
The enemies are kind of boring throughout this. Like, they do change for every couple of levels, but you get some skeletons.
That boss looks like something out of Mario, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was getting at. Like, everything, like, just kind of looks plain, but then, like, all the bosses look like they could be a Mario villain of some sort. Now, most of these levels are grouped into, like, yeah, they're, like, level 1, 2, and 3, but, like, these first three levels go together, the two or three levels go together, so they're kind of like, it should be like 1-1, 1-2, but I like that they just kept it simple and were like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So, level 2 is Grounder's Mind. This level is a cave with a bunch of conveyor belts and pulley buckets, and they have these buckets on like a wheel that you have to jump on, and it's a little spinny thing that it spins you around.
Yeah, this is the first part of the game where like, I really need to get used to that double jump.
Yeah. And it's right now we're still in like, oh, this is like typical platformer stuff. Okay.
Yeah, this is cute and fun.
Yeah. You get to level 3. This is a tunnel chase. You want to tell us about that? Because you gave me the hint very quickly of what to do to make my head not explode while playing this.
Yeah, so all you got to do in this one here, it's a typical minecart level, but unlike Donkey Kong, you don't really jump with the minecart. You just control what you do inside the minecart. So when I first doing this, I got frustrated a couple times because I kept on getting hit and fall off, or I jump to try to get something that goes away. All you got to do is just duck. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
For 3-4 minutes, just hold down. You don't have to do anything else.
You can try to collect stars and stuff, but there's so many like gotcha moments where like the ceiling is really low and you have to duck. So if you forget the patterns, you're starting over. So just hold down. It sucks.
And there'll be guys that come out and throw bombs at you and shit. Just don't move.
Just don't move. Just hold down. It's kind of a waste of a level and everything, but just hold down.
And then there's this tense cutscene in there too, where you're going downhill. It's like it shows like a part where it's blocked the track. It's like,
yeah,
no. And it keeps going back and forth. Like, okay, we know what's gonna happen here. And then the enemy goes through it and blows up pretty much.
And then you ramp off of it and you're safe.
Yep.
Yeah. So once you get through this little chase of just holding down, you get to the end where you actually fight the mole thing. And it's Grounder is his name. It takes 6 hits to kill him. So all he does is he stomps on the ground because you're in a cave. The rocks fall on you from the top of the cave. And he throws his spike helmet hat thing at you, and then you jump on his head while the helmet is away from him.
Yeah, give him head while he's exposed.
Yeah, I think he jumps around too a little bit, but I mean, it's a fairly easy, typical platformer kind of level, you know, boss level. Now, here's something that was kind of interesting, which is also pointless, but it's kind of neat. I don't know. I want to see how you feel about it. There is an overworld map after every level. Like, it shows your character walk around a little bit. It doesn't actually do anything, but it's just a cutscene. You don't control it. You don't pick the next spot. It's just a little cutscene.
Yeah, some things happen while you're walking around.
Yeah.
Well, you're not walking, but as the character's moving. Well, I thought this game was going to be much bigger than it was when I saw that. I'm like, oh, God, what am I getting into?
Right, I did too. I kind of was like, oh, shit. But there's no dialogue throughout this entire game. After that first bit, there's nothing. It's just all plays out for you, which is so nice. You just watch it. Like, a kid could watch it and just be like, okay, I can see what's going on. But every level has a little bit of a cutscene and then has the overworld map cutscene thing. Level 4 is Lumberjack Forest. This level is full of trees. You're basically jumping on branches. There's some bouncy cot things that you use as trampolines, I guess. You have some bad apples that are falling out of the trees trying to hurt you, which makes me wonder more about this world that the apples have teeth and stuff.
Yeah, what the fuck is up with that?
Yeah.
And at first, I was just walking around, like, going up this hill. I'm like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It caught me off guard because I thought they were just good apples.
Listen, and Nina and the old man are both human. Everyone else is, like, some kind of animal. So this is a very, like, mixed universe. This is the first one where you get Peck's power-up where he puffs up like a balloon and floats around and you ride him. There's a spot I had so much trouble in this level. This will be a continuing theme from this point on, where you have to perfectly bounce between three enemies that are on spikes, and then you have to run and make a ridiculous pixel-perfect jump over a gap. Like, if you don't jump pixel perfect, you miss it every single time. I probably did it 30 times before I finally landed it, and I think it glitched when I did it. I think I landed right on the edge to where it was like, I don't know, I guess we'll count it, and it kicked me up onto it. So it's got some hard parts like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of that in this game.
Level 5 is Catree's Tree Fortress. This one has the Indiana Jones wannabe. it starts with him like on this like hover bike thing, which comes into play later. You're jumping on these wooden peg things that are on this huge large tree. You're trying to make your way up the tree. Some of these little pegs, these tree branches, whatever the hell they are spinning in circles. So as soon as you jump on them, it pulls you one of the directions and makes you fall off.
Yeah.
Very hard.
It's super frustrating.
Yes. There's lots of vines that you climb in this one. I had a problem with the vines.
Oh, you couldn't get them off? Get up them?
Listen, when you play Donkey Kong Country and you're on the vines all the time, if you are on the right side of the vines and you hold the right button and then you jump off the vines, you go right, correct?
Yes.
If you are on the right side of the vine in this and hold right to jump right in this game, you will jump left. You have to be facing the opposite. You have to be facing the direction you want to be going. So you want to be on the left side of the vine to jump to the right. Which I get it, because that's the way you're facing. It's just I've played too much Donkey Kong Country in my life to where I can't undo that.
Oh, first world problems.
Yes. Very much so. Then you have the fight with Catree. She takes 5 hits in this one, and there are 4 different buttons, colored buttons that you have to press. There's red, green, yellow, and blue. And she jumps up them, and as you step on the button, a boxing glove fist comes out. So if she's...
I fucking hated this fight.
Yeah, so if she's up on the yellow one, you have to jump, or by the yellow door, you have to jump on the yellow button, obviously. But she's also going to be jumping on them because that yellow button may be by the green door. So she's going to jump over to the green button to make the boxing glove hit you. You figured out a very cheap way and easy way to do it.
Yeah, I did. What I did was just make sure you have a little pecker there with you. And then she'll jump up above you, and you just jump up and throw Peck at her 6 times or whatever it is, and then she's gone. And it's very easy to do it that way, because I spent about 20-25 minutes trying to figure this fight out, because it's a fucking tough one.
Yeah, I spent some time on it, too. I think I could have done it eventually. It just would have taken a lot of time, and finally you told me, and I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to do that, I guess.
Well, she knows every move you're going to make.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a hard one. Well, level 6 is eaten, and when you're on the outer world map, you get eaten by a big uncircumcised penis.
Yep.
I mean,
butthole with teeth. Penis with teeth.
It's like a tremor looking thing, but it eats you, and then you're on the insides of it. The level doesn't help it not look like the inside of a penis. Just the interior just looks fleshy and like.
Yeah, it's like a scene out of The Boys.
It looks exactly. If you've seen The Boys, you know the scene. Oh, you know the scene. It does. It looks exactly like that. And there's this like. It's supposed to be acid, I think, but it's like big, like,
come.
Yeah, it's like big stringy white substance that you use as a rope in this.
Yeah.
There's a shooting ropes joke there.
Yeah, you can make a pearl necklace out of them too.
But yeah, that's what you climb up and down, and it's supposed to be saliva or something, but no, it looks like the semen. Yeah, and there's teeth on the inside of it and stuff, it's very scary inside of a penis, I guess. Anyways, you make your way through this and this gross fucking level, and you find whatever her name is. She's knocked out, and you get the rainbow piece, and then you climb out of the end of the penis worm thing because Indiana Jones cuts the ass off. Yeah, it's circumcised. Yeah, yes. And you get.
That's what it looks like.
It does. It totally does.
The top totally comes off.
Yep. So, yeah. And then you're out.
Not that you lose the top of your penis when you're circumcised, but you know what I mean.
Wait, that's not what it's supposed to look like?
Oh, no.
They cut too much off me.
Stumpy.
Okay, level 7, Ancient Pyramid, and level 8 is called Mousetrap. They look exactly the same. It's the inside of a pyramid, basically. There's a lot of, like, riding platforms and lots of spiky things, so you're riding these blocks that are, if you fall off of it, they're spikes, and it's just a pyramid level. You have to move blocks.
Kind of like a maze, too.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of maze elements. You got to move blocks around, blow up some walls and stuff. You fight a genie that isn't a boss. Did you like...
No, he's just a flexing genie.
Yeah, did you like this big muscular genie?
Yeah, genies are pretty cool.
Nah, I mean, whatever. I'm not real fond
of... I've never met one or anything, but...
No. yeah, so, and then after that, you end up having to do this little part where you chase this fucking mouse around.
Oh, goddamn.
I guess he has the piece, and you're just chasing this mouse around. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, he's a fucking dick.
Yeah.
You have to know the pattern in order to catch this fucker to get the gem.
Yeah. And then as you're, once you get it, I guess, you know, Indiana Jones kind of stuff where the walls start closing in on you, and you have the piece, and you're running out, and then, well, Indiana Jones comes and saves you.
Indiana Jacoby's there.
John Jacob Johnson, whatever his name is.
Jingleheimer Schmidt.
He's holding up the wall and lets you escape, and then it crushes. And that is his fate.
But he did.
For now. Level 9 is Gilson's pirate ship. You basically, it's just you jump from boat to boat, and you're kind of climbing up this boat.
Which is frustrating.
Fuck, these jumps are really hard, too, because you have to be precise. There's a lot of precise jumping in this game.
And some of the jumps are blind, too. Like, you can't really... Like, some games, you can move the screen over a bit so you can see. Not in this one. You gotta make some leap of faith,
yeah.
For sure.
Now, this one does have the cutest fucking sprite in the whole goddamn game. This little thing is... I guess it's like a flying squirrel. It's in the... It's in the side of the
ship. Raccoons kind
of
thing.
Yeah, it's like in the side of the ship and throwing shit down at you, and it was just so fucking adorable. I want one
big
of those.
Big little chunky boy.
He's looking cute. Then you get to the end of it after getting through all these little boats that you're jumping from and platforming. You get to Gilson the Owl, who you're fighting on a giant anchor. And he's Storm Eagle from Mega Man X.
Yeah, it's a Mega Man boss.
Yeah. He swoops down at you from one side or the other, and he throws feathers, and he has like heat-seeking missiles, and you jump on him, and then he swoops down again, and he throws one of the two projectiles. He's pretty easy. I think he's 5 or 6 hits as well. Very easy.
Yep.
Level 10 is Island of Ruins. There's a lot of, like, broken platforms. This one has a lot of spears being shot at you.
The fucking spears.
Yeah, oh, this isn't even the worst part of the spears. This is just the first, like, introduction of, like, hey, you're gonna hate these in a little while. there's some weird bowling ball things that they don't hurt you, but you can jump on them and bounce off of them to get to different areas and stuff. Level 11 is Beecroft's Stronghold, and it's more of the same like little weird abandoned island or ruins kind of area.
I do like how the levels are pretty good at transitioning to the next one.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they all look like they're part of the same universe, which is good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a progression. Like, it does progress a little. This one has this weird part, I still don't understand it, where it's got, like, these, like, security cameras.
Yeah. Yeah, they alert the little fuckers that are on the level. So you can dodge, like, or go invisible, right, when the camera comes on top of you?
Oh, see, that's, okay, that makes more sense, because I didn't ever use the invisibility cloak until the very end. That's where you need to use it. That would have saved me a lot of headache. This part was hard because I didn't do that. I didn't even think about that. That sucks. I'll never play this game again to figure it out, but that sucks that I didn't do it. So if you do trigger it, it sends out this like fucking saw wheel thing at you, and you have to run from it and jump on platforms to avoid it. Yeah, it sucks. And there's like two or three of these little parts.
Yeah, this is like the one stealthy part in the game, but you can make it through just by running through it.
Damn it, I wish I'd have known that. So the boss is Beecroft. He shoots lasers and stuff out of you from this weird fucking like robot thing. This is the easiest boss in the entire game because there is a mirror piece in the top on this platform. You jump up, you grab it. You can literally stand in the same spot, and he'll just shoot at you, and then you reflect the shots at him, and it takes like 5 or 6 hits, and he dies as well.
Yeah, very simple.
Very, very simple. Level 12, the Underground Passage. It's like another cave-type level underground. There's lots of skeletons in this one. You have to search the level, and you have to get this peck upgrade to where he can break through the brick walls. And once you do, you can set all these explosives to blow up the caves, to let it fill up the cavern with water so you can swim through it or something.
Yeah, I thought that was a cool mechanic.
It was cool, but again, it's one of those things like where you're like, peck could have really been used a lot more with these like upgrades and stuff to... So far, we've gotten a lot of different like gaming mechanics and stuff that it wasn't the same monotonous gameplay. There was something, a new element in every level. It just felt like they could have done more with like the peck upgrades and stuff, you know?
Yeah, it could have made it more like Rush.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So level 13 is Viscotti's Castle. Fucking spears. This is the moment in the game where it's been hard up until this point. This is where it turns into a motherfucker.
Yeah, this is where it gets turned up to fucking 12.
So there is fire on the ground, and there's these three platforms that move back and forth. And then there are 19 levels of spears. They're being shot. One shoots from the right side of the wall, and then the other shoots from the left side. What you have to do is jump up on each spear as they're being shot to the very top. The reason I know it's 19 is because I had to fucking count it because I didn't know where the fuck I was because you're just jumping up this for what seems like for fucking ever.
Yeah, it's a very long way to go.
And at the 16th one is when a fucking flying enemy gets in your way. And if you don't kill him, he will fuck you. And on the 19th...
Not the good fucking
either. No, no. And on the 19th spear, if you don't go ahead and charge up your bounce tail... You won't make it into the tiny fucking hole to get up to the top of the platform. I spent 45 minutes alone in this spot right here.
Yeah, you did.
Yes, there is.
It's a very, very tough section.
Very tough.
And you think you got the timing figured out, but then It switches on you.
Well, guess what? The fun doesn't stop there, Goops, because level 14 is the goddamn throne room. But guess what? This isn't the kind of throne you want to sit on, because if you sit anywhere in this fucking level, it stabs you with some goddamn spikes. I feel like I'm already raging.
Yeah, you kind of are.
Peck gets aired up again to float around. And there's spikes on the walls, on the ceiling, on the floor, every fucking where you turn. The thing you didn't know about this before is that he only has a certain amount of time before he deflates.
Yep. He gets smaller and smaller and smaller as you go.
And you have to get through these really tight, like, maze-like thing with all these spiked areas.
Very, very little room for error.
It's so hard. Yeah, you don't have hardly any room for error at all. And yeah, this took quite a while, but I finally managed to get through it. Next, we've got level 15, the tower. This is half skill, half luck, half memorization. There's a handful of platforms that you jump on to start, and then like they shoot up into the tower. And you have to jump up them because they slowly start, like, the screen starts catching up to them from the bottom up. And, like, if you go off screen, you die, obviously, right?
Yeah. You got to stay one step ahead of yourself.
Right. And the platforms are coming down while the screen is going up, and you have to just jump. You just have to, like, memorize the pattern and get lucky. It's hard. I had to do this one quite a few times as well.
Yeah, this game, the last half of it just kicks your fucking ass.
Well, then we get to the Hall of Mirrors, which is level 16.
Oh, this one's fucking lots of fun, too.
Honestly, I kind of admired this level just because it was something very new to me that I don't think I've really seen in another game. But at the same time, yeah, fuck this level.
Yeah, the whole gimmick on this one is that there's a mirror on the bottom of the level. So there's two Lightfoots, or two Arties, and you're going, but there's arrows or spears shooting at you on both the mirrored surface and the normal surface. So when you're going, sometimes you'll disappear behind a wall or whatever, but you can still see yourself on the bottom on the mirror. But there's the projectiles can hurt you on both above and below.
Yeah.
So you got to dodge projectiles on both surfaces, which is kind of cool.
The problem is you have to like really pay attention to both planes because like the mirror world may have different amounts of spears that are being thrown at you. They're like little trident spears. While like you might have like three in a row at the top, it may be like three stacked up on the bottom. So you have to jump extra high. You can't just say, but your Artie is always the same. Like he always moves the same. It's confusing. It's hard. You got to memorize so much. That's the only thing I can say is just memorize stuff. Memorize. Then we get to level 17. The boss, Viscotti, the devil. Like we said, he looks like Wart. This motherfucker has a long cutscene of it's very Dragon Ball Z, give me your energy kind of thing where it just cuts to everyone that you've encountered throughout the game and everyone's like raising their hands and like praying for you or so whatever the fuck they're doing. You have to watch this cutscene. If you die, like if you go through all the your continues and have to start over, you have to watch this fucking cutscene every single
time. Yeah, you'll see this one a few times.
This whole boss battle took me another hour to beat. Because you have to keep figuring out patterns, and once you figure out the pattern, he changes it up on you. So he starts out on this ledge, and he has a shield that he uses that's around him, so you can't hurt him. This is where you have to use your invisibility thing, because he shoots lightning, and no matter where you stand, the lightning is going to hurt you.
Yep. It's going to get you.
Yeah. So you have to keep using your shield, and then he throws some of his tridents at the top of the screen that don't hurt you at all, but he throws them. You have to do this for a few minutes, because then your Indiana Jones character comes in with his fucking rocket bike thing, and he fucking crashes. What happens to him? I mean, I watched it 100 times.
Yeah, I don't really know. Like, he just, yeah, he kind of just fucks everything up.
He just comes in, crashes, and then he fucking hits the wall, and he's dead. He's fucking dead. But his little hover bike is now on the stage. You have to jump on the hover bike and, like, pump it up. I think it's 4 or 5 jumps. Once you pump it up, it kicks you, it blasts you off to where you get close to where you can jump off of it and jump on Viscotti's head.
Yes.
But he's right. So you got to watch the pattern because he's still shooting lightning. He's throwing his tridents, and he's got this, like, ball move where it's like this black ball, and once it hits, it like does a spread shot thing.
Do you have a special ball move?
I got a couple of special ball moves I could show you. That's for later. Patreon. The patrons are like, no. No.
Nope.
Anyway, so you jump on him 4 or 5 times doing this little pattern, and he destroys the bike. He still does the lightning and stuff, but now he throws this, like, purple ball at you, and it bounces on the ground. You can bounce off
That's when you sit on it weird.
That was pretty good. you have to bounce off that purple ball and then jump on his head. So you do that a couple of times, and then he jumps off of the platform to come attack you, and he charges you and tries to, like, give you a flaming uppercut, and he jumps at you, and you jump on him a couple more times in this. He's really fast in this part as well.
For a big guy, he's quick.
Quick but thick.
Is that describing your sex life?
Yeah, thick but quick. yeah, so anyways, you jump on him a couple more times. I'm telling you, I'm making it sound really easy. It's fucking not. It is not.
Yeah, it's a tough battle. And it's long, too.
It's very long. So, yeah, you jump on him enough. You have a long-ass cut scene, and you collect all the Chaos Emeralds. I mean, the Dragon Balls. I mean, the Rainbow Pieces.
I mean, the Infinity Stones.
Right. Yeah, it's got this really long cut scene. John Jacob Indiana Jones is still alive. He didn't die. Everyone's happy. You know what? I don't know if it tells you what your wish was. Maybe I just kind of tuned out at that.
You know what his wish was?
Have a bigger dick.
To not be a furry.
I think he's okay with it.
Yeah, well, he's gonna fuck this woman he just saved.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe his wish was to make her a furry as well. That way,
yeah, maybe.
Maybe it's not interspecies.
Yeah.
Anyways, what do you think of the music, Goobs?
I really enjoyed the music.
I did too. It was so good.
I thought it was fun music, like for a platformer. Very whimsical.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because I was streaming this, as I typically do nowadays, and we had some of our friends in Discord playing and talking with me while I was playing, and they were listening to the music, and they were like, man, this sounds like a big RPG kind of, like, soundtrack. I think our friend Burke said that, and I was like, yeah, it really does have that big RPG feel to it. So, really good soundtrack, surprisingly, very surprisingly.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed it. I was very pleased.
Yeah.
What about for the first game of the year to start off with some good music?
Yeah. What about graphics?
I thought they were fucking great, too. Like, there could have been some more enemies, but the sprites were great. The worlds were interesting.
Sprites were great. The
overworld map was like, it didn't need to be there, but I'm happy it was.
Right, yeah, it was cool. They had a lot of really cool characters and stuff, but yeah, I think the main problem was the lack of enemy. There were a lot, we just didn't really cover them because there was so much in this game. It just could have used some more. Like, there was...
Yeah, I thought they paid great attention, though, to, like, the foreground and background. There's always something going on.
Hey, I was about to say that. Like, the backgrounds looked really great. Like, there was depth to them. I mean, everything looked really good in this game. I always find it very weird, though, when there's, like, humans and anthropomorphic creatures. You know, like, which is this world?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Stick with one.
It's like Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, I guess so.
Or Looney Tunes?
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess you're right. Looney Tunes is very like Elmer Fudd and Bugs Bunny. I didn't think about that. That was weird.
On the movies, too, right?
Right, right. Okay, what about the controls?
Now, this is where it gets interesting.
Yeah.
They could have used more of the buttons there. They could have just had a jump and you hit the next button. It might have made it a bit easier instead of hitting jump twice.
Listen, I'm okay with the weird bounce thing. Like, I fucking hate it. I'm okay with that. What I'm not okay with is not being able to just straight up jump on enemies.
Yeah, it's a little frustrating.
That's what kept messing me up so much. Yes, the bouncing on your tail thing sucked, and it just, it didn't.
You do get used to it. You get good at it because you're forced to.
Right. It's just not ideal. You know? And like, some of the jumps just feel like... And it's not... This isn't a controller issue. It's more of the level design. But some of the jumps just feel like they're just fucking a little too out of reach. You know?
Yep. Yeah, I can feel you on that one.
You can make them. It just... It's so... You gotta be precise, and again, that's again the design, not controls. But it did make it feel like, oh shit! Now there is a running. If you hold the button, you will run. Like if you hold left or right, you will run. But you don't want to do that either in this game. Like you
feel what, Toby?
You'll run.
He will run.
So. You'll want to run early on, like you feel like, oh, I've got like Sonic speed, and then like you immediately regret it, and you don't do it until you.
Yeah, there's too many tight platforming in this game to fucking do that.
Yeah. So, I just think that the platforming is fine in this game. I think the controls are fine. I think the jump feels okay. I just hate the bounce jump. That's the worst part of this.
Again, you will get used to it, but yeah, it's kind of a hassle. It's like DuckTales.
Woo!
With jumping with the cane.
Yes, yes. But see, I feel like if you would have had to help, because I think you have to hold down when you do that, right?
I think so.
I think if that's probably what would have fixed it, is holding down to bounce on your tail. I think that would have been okay. I don't know. I mean, whatever. Those are the buttons, though.
Hey, Toby, man.
Yeah, what's up, guy?
Speaking of light feet, I just got some new shoes that makes me feel like I can jump on flying spears.
Oh, are they like those, like, the air pump shoes? You remember those pump-up shoes from back in the day?
Yes, something like that. They're called Air Pecs.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, let me go run and grab them. I have them in the other room.
Okay, cool. Well, funny enough, I actually decided to buy myself a fursuit, my first fursuit after this game. So I'll have this fursuit ready when he gets back, and I'll show him on camera how cool it looks. It's a big blue wolf. I think I'm gonna call him Bluff, like blue wolf. Get it, Bluff. Anyways, let me put this big mask on this. I was just trying to get it on my head. It doesn't fit real good. Let me push really tight, really hard.
Ooh.
What is that noise? I don't know. My ears are muffled. It's kind of scratch. You know, it's tight on my ears. Let me just push harder.
Push. Toby, hello.
Why does that voice sound echoey in my ears?
Ooh, why is your head in my rectum? Ooh, it's a tight fit.
Oh.
Wrecked them down well, killed them.
I need to take a shower and wash my hair. And
ooh, you did it to yourself.
I think I'm just shaving my head after this. Okay, Goop Genie, since you're here, and I'm
ooh, it stinks in here.
Yeah, it. Tell me about it.
Ooh, I just douched too. Ooh,
you didn't douche enough. Have you ever heard of the game Artie Lightfoot for Super Nintendo?
Ooh, no, I haven't. Ooh.
Oh. That's weird, because usually you have, like, you know, some kind of cheat or a code for me that you could give me.
Ooh, hold on. Let me fly away and come right back with a new good one. Ooh.
Well, okay.
Ooh, I got something for you. Ooh. I have a special GG library I go to. Ooh.
Oh.
A nice llama runs it. Ooh.
Oh. Interesting.
But it's back in the medieval time. Ooh, it's dangerous. Ooh.
Huh.
For invincibility and a higher jump, ooh, hold down right YLA and press start. Ooh. Well, in the game, press L for invincibility, press R to jump higher. Ooh.
Wow. That would have really came in handy for me. I think I would have really liked to have those cheats early on.
Ooh, and I would really like to have your head up my ass again.
No, you know what? I don't think the furry thing's for me after this experience. That was disgusting. Could you just, like, give me some, you know...
Oh, it wasn't that furry. I shaved. Ooh. I didn't know I was having visitors come over.
I can tell.
Or come in.
You didn't clean up that much. Could you just leave and just let me have my peace? Like, I just need to, like, have a moment to, like, air out and...
Oh, you want to cherish this moment. I get it. Ooh.
Just go. Be gone. Be gone.
See you next week, Toby. Ooh.
It's so stinky, like, his ass is just so gross, it's slimy, it's stinky, I don't know why he's here every
time. Fuck,
every
man,
week.
These shoes didn't work that well.
Hey, Goobs.
There's a fucking arrow sticking right through my leg.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's not as funny as Ace Ventura made it seem to be. Why does it smell like shit in here?
Do you want to hear some fun facts?
It's time for fun facts, Toby. Pring!
All right, it's time for...
How much is this game?
Okay, Demolition.
This is the game show where Goobs...
That's me.
...is going to try to guess the price of this game. He gets the $5 window.
Show us the tall hands.
If he's within the $5, he gets the sound effect. Goobs.
Fuck yeah.
Are you ready?
I'm as ready as a Jenny Bean is. Shit, as a Jenny Bean.
Yippee!
Good luck.
All right, Artie Lightfoot for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. What does a loose copy of this cartridge go for?
Well, let's try $37.
37 in a row?
Yeah.
Is that your final?
Is that before or including me?
Is that your final?
That's my final answer.
Okay, well, you were close. This game is going for $170 loose.
Sheesh.
All right, moving on to complete in box. That means you get the cardboard box, the manual, and you get the cartridge. How much total?
I'm going to go $259.
$259, that's a good guess. Are you sure you don't want to go up or down?
I'm good. I don't like going up or down. I stay neutral. Starfish.
Well, you were really close. That was a great guess, but it goes for $382.
I was thinking $390 in the back of my head.
You still would have been off, though.
$390 is close.
Price is right rules. You would have been.
Oh, rude. Fuck you.
yeah, those are expensive. Expensive pieces to add to your collection.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
All right. Moving on to some other fun facts, which are very slim pickings. So luckily, we had lots of levels to talk about in this one. So the very few fun facts I have. A lot of the sprites were changed in the North American release. Apparently, Artie had a waiting pose that was removed in the North American version. I don't know what this pose is, but it's different.
Whips his dick out.
He's just spinning it around.
Helicopter.
Yeah.
I'm waiting.
I'm waiting. And then they had some crying animals in the background of the forest level that they took out. That was a little too traumatic, I suppose. Now, this one, in level 6, called Eaten, we see Catrys knocked out, right?
Yeah.
Lifeless. She might be alive. She might be knocked out. Either way, she's inside the penis, right? She is reduced to a pile of bones in the Japanese version.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, the stomach acid, I guess, got to her.
Stomach semen.
Stomach semen. The semen demons. So, yeah, she is not just knocked out.
You went to high school with that girl, too?
maybe. So, this game was published by Titus, remember? Titus also brought you such classics as Dick Tracy on NES, Superman 64 on Nintendo 64.
Oh, my God.
Lamborghini American Challenge on Super Nintendo, The Brainies, and Power Pigs of the Dark Age on Super Nintendo. They also made the Titus Fox, which was their mascot, and they had a Game Boy game the year before Artie Lightfoot, which makes me wonder, like, why didn't they just make this a Titus game?
Yeah.
I feel like that would have made sense. Now, I know the developer was different, but I don't know if... I don't know. It just seems like it's already a Fox... You have a Titus Fox. I don't know. It just seems like it could have worked. Now, I really did some deep diving trying to find some fun facts. So I'm going to really butcher these names. So apologies. The composers in this were Akiko Hashimoto and Katashiro Hatano. Sorry. So sorry. I'm... stupid American. I want to bring them up because we talked about that RPG big sound, right? And I tried to see like what other games that they were a part of. Now, this is also the industry like during the NES era where a lot of these composers and stuff had to go by fake names. So they could have possibly worked on other games and just went under a different name. All I could really find is that Akiko composer didn't seem to do much with other video game soundtracks after this. And the other one, I'm not going to try to say that name again, Hatano, worked on Virtue Fighter 2, Lost Planet 2, and Devil May Cry 4. So that was some of the games. But I just thought that was interesting that they didn't really have like a big... backlog of like, oh, they composed all these games when it was such a great soundtrack, you know? I don't know. I found that very interesting because I would have expected that they came from like maybe they worked on Final Fantasy games or, you know, something that just was bigger in scale. Honestly, the entire art director team and designers, they didn't have a bunch of accolades for video game work. Like, I mean, I was trying to find anything. It seemed like this was a fairly fresh team on this game, which is very weird that this was their one and done and they were just like, all right, we're done. So the last couple of little things I have is that Electronic Gaming Monthly gave a pretty good review on this game. They talked about the big levels and the numerous character abilities, which I think is fucking goofy because there's not that many character abilities. There's like two that it gives you. Whatever. They talk about the impressive boss battles, but they actually did warn about how hard it gets, and they gave it a 7.2 out of 10. And then Nintendo Power gave this game a 13.8 out of 20. So if you ever wanted the goofiest fucking rating system, there it is. Which I simplified it, which is like a 6.9 out of 10. So... anyways, that's all I've got for fun facts.
Well, there's one thing left to do. That's to go right to the rage meter.
Oh, come on!
Rage
This is the Rage Meter. We're going to take a 1 to 10 and tell you how pissed off this game made us. How pissed off, Goobs?
Oh, make you so pissed off that you're going to take 10-year-old bong water and drink it while doing cartwheels downhill full of spikes and arrows getting thrown at you.
Ugh. That sounds gross.
Yeah, it's fucking disgusting.
Well, I'm going to go first on this Rage Meter. I'm going to tell you how pissed off this game made me, Goobs. This game's fucking hard. Fucking hard. From the spears to the hard jumps, bouncing on fucking bullshit to avoid spikes, riding and memorizing fucking platforms. The mirror thing is so fucking hard on a completely different level because it's something I'd never thought I'd ever have to do in a game. It messed with my mind that I had to control two different arties, basically. So many pixel perfect jumps you have to do over and over, or at least me. I had to fucking do them so many goddamn times, it's unreal. The fucking cutscene at the end of the goddamn boss battle where you just had to keep watching it over and over because you died 25 times fucking sucks. After the second time you watch it, you're like, oh no, I better beat this quick. The fucking vines, how you have to jump from them on the opposite side, that pissed me the fuck off. This game was a solid 9. It was a fucking hard as balls. Took me 5 hours to complete. Hard. Very, very hard. Fucking solid 9. Tough motherfucking game. That's my rage right there.
Yeah, it's a tough one. From mastering the double jump skill there with your tail and then landing on enemies at the right time is it's a rageful moment there until you get that under your control.
Yes.
Trust me, with 17 levels, you're going to have a lot of time to get that under your control. You're going to need to master that very quickly.
That's right.
I wish Peck didn't go away so fast.
Yeah.
He's pretty much gone after you get him. If you get hit, because some levels are extremely difficult. And it would be nice to have him around with you a little longer. So if you can get maybe one or two hits and have him still stick around, that would have been fucking great.
I would forget to use him. I would just flat out forget that I could use him as a
same thing with the fucking saran wrap you pull out of your pocket that makes you fucking invisible.
Yes, saran wrap.
Fucking, it doesn't work as a condom and doesn't work that well here either. It's, you forget about it until you're like, oh, this would make this a lot easier if I just remembered to fucking do that.
Yeah.
But that's on me for forgetting to use that often. Yeah, it's mostly the difficulty here. That's, it will get you. I'm gonna give this a solid 8.
Damn.
And most of it's my fault. Some of the boss levels, and that one where you have to push the buttons, like, that's fucking ridiculous. She knows what you're gonna do, I swear. She has ESPN. She's logged on. She knows what you're doing.
Yes. Yeah. Very, very hard. Very hard.
And then the final boss, too, fucking...
Fucking
what the fuck
Wart,
his name is?
Wart?
Yeah.
Viscotti.
Vasectomy, that's his name.
Wart the Devil. Yeah, it's a...
That fight's outrageously difficult, too.
It sure is. But, Goobs, let's settle down. Let's take a nice, big, deep breath and rate this game from 1 to 10. Is this game worth playing? 1 being, hell no. 10 being like, yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. Goobs, 1 to 10, what do you rate this game?
Okay, from the wonderful music to the beautiful graphics, this game won me over when I first started playing. That's when I was excited to tell Toby, hey, I think we found one here. Because I know he loves his platformers with random animals in it, because he makes me play them all the fucking time, as you know, on this show. There's always something him and his Meemaw play. Not this one, though. So, toss this in his general direction. I was excited for him to play it. I was excited to play it. And then the difficulty got me in the end. But, besides that, like we were talking about how graphics are earlier. And they're fucking great. There's not really too much for me to complain about besides the difficulty, which we just did, both of us. It got us both. It was
it's tough.
Extremely difficult, but
Cuphead
I found the characters, yeah. I found the characters, I don't know if it was Cuphead tough, but it was pretty tough. But I found the characters very warming, and like, they're nice. It was nice to have those kind of characters for a change. And yeah, it was a fun experience. I suggest playing it. You know what you're getting yourself into now after listening to us talk about how hard it was for the past hour. And we're not talking about her penises. And then, yeah. So I'm going to give this game a solid 8.
Okay.
I quite enjoyed it. And it might be a little bit of a hidden gem.
All right.
Chloe, what do you think?
Well, my friend, the gameplay in this is pretty decent. I really like all the change-up that this game has. It always had some kind of new element coming at you, whether you're riding something, whether it's a maze. You know, there was always a new element to almost every level. 17 levels, you had something. You're riding a mine cart, you're jumping from the boats, you're climbing stuff, you're climbing cum, you're moving blocks. There's small puzzles you have to figure out. You have to backtrack in one level, and it's not like, oh, now that you're backtracking, guess what? Every level has backtracking, and you have to, like...
Yeah.
So, like, it was a very well-balanced of, like, different things to do. It's
those platformers, you just go right?
Yeah, yeah. Or it is one of those, like, explore your fucking dick off, and
it gets repetitive and fucking boring.
Right. So this one, like, kept it fresh almost every level. It was just so fucking hard. The music is so good in this. Like, it's very surprisingly good. The graphics are just great. Backgrounds, the character designs, like, everything looked pretty good. This is how I was thinking. It's not quite as good as, like, a Rocket Knight kind of graphics, but it's almost there. Like, it was almost there. You know, yeah. Rocket Knight on the Sega Genesis, or Mega Drive, if that's how you want to live your life. but it's really close. They were pretty sharp. The story wasn't terrible, but I love the fact that it didn't have any dialogue after that first bit, and it just told the story with action. You know, like, with stuff happening. I thought that was really cool, really clever. The controls are the weakest part of this entire game. They are terrible. Just that bounce mechanic and everything just fucking sucks. That's the only thing that killed my boner on this game.
Boner breaker.
I wish there was more to do with Peck. Like I said earlier, I feel like that would have added even more to this game. It just kind of seemed like it was pointless to have your little fucking buddy take your hit, and then that's it. You don't use him for much else. Overall, I really liked this game. I really liked the difficulty, even though I'm bitching about it. Like, it was fucking hard. It was a challenge.
It's playable. Like, we both beat it.
Yeah. It was fun and hard. It was very rewarding when you beat it. I don't want to ever play it again, but I think this was a good challenge. It was a good game. It was a platformer that was, it was difficult but fair, even though some of the jumps are kind of bullshit. some of the stuff is bullshit, but I think it's still pretty fair, you know, the difficulty wise. Maybe it is a hidden gem. I'm going to give it an 8 also. I had a time with this game, and I can't say that it was a poor time completely.
That's one of the better platformers I played recently.
Yeah. So with our powers combined, we made an 8 overall rating. And I think that's right on track. Now, we saw the other ones were like 7.2 and stuff. I think just over time, like, this game, I don't feel like it's talked about enough. I know you said a couple of big YouTubers and stuff have talked about it, but, like, this is the first time it's ever hit my radar. So I think it's worth trying out. I think more people should cover this game on other podcasts. Main Quest.
That's a good one.
Retro Hangover. Anyways. Yeah. An 8. What do you think about that?
I think that's great. Finish him.
So, this is the end of the show. We got a few things before we completely say goodbye on this one. Goops, What is that? What is one of the things that we need to do?
Oh, we gotta fucking shout out our motherfucking patrons, who we love so much.
Oh, we love the patrons! We love
Thank
them.
You for supporting your thick boys.
Thick boys!
Ain't no party like a thick boy party. There's a thick boy over here. Whoop, whoop. There's a thick boy over there.
Whoop, whoop. Yeah. All right.
That's your S Club reference for this episode.
Yeah. Yeah, so
now we're going to name them S Club 7 characters. No.
So, listen, patrons, we love you. You support the show. You help keep our websites going. Goob's just got some new equipment. All thanks to you guys that keeps the show.
Oh, yeah.
Hosted, and we can't thank you enough. So just know, like, your money gets dumped right back into the show for everything, and we appreciate the hell out of you.
Yeah, we're not getting rich.
But we're going to die trying.
No, we really, really fucking appreciate it.
Yeah, you guys rock. So
from the bottom of our cockles.
We are going to do some shout-outs to our patrons. Goobs likes to give them some nice, colorful nicknames.
Yes, and I'm going to give them types of different foxes. This may have happened before, but I guarantee you won't get the same one.
let's go on. All right, Goobs. Our first patron is Bent Blue Genie Weenie.
What?
Bent Blue Genie Weenie. I think this is our friend Jay Dizzle.
Okay, it's going to be, he's the Arctic Fox.
What about Parallax Puddles?
He is the Tibetan Fox.
What about Thomas Smith?
A Silver Fox?
Sean Brissett.
The Crab Eating Fox?
Crash Override.
The Gray Fox?
DJ Romance Baby.
The Bat Eared Fox.
Gilmy Talks.
Darwin's Fox.
Wolfman.
Wolfman is the Fennec Fox.
What about Obrion?
Culpeo. C-U-L-P-E-O. Culpeo.
Culpeo.
Culpeo, Culpeo.
Evil Ringo. Our producer.
He's the Island Fox.
What about Paprika?
The Cape Fox.
Eric Berg.
He is the Blamford's Fox.
Level 1 Noob.
The Pale Fox.
What about the Refuse Brothers?
The Bangle Fox.
Keith Gasper.
The Pampas Fox.
Chris Copeland.
He's the Swift Fox.
What about Fat Shags?
The Horror Fox?
What about our librarian, the Masked Keaton?
He's a... I can't even fucking pronounce that. I'll give it a shot.
Give it a shot.
He's a Fenyu Scion? Furry Scion? F-E-R-R-U-C-Y-O-N?
Okay. And then last but not least, Riku!
He's the Ethiopian Wolf.
Those are the patrons. You can go to patreon.com/badsecretmedia, or you can go to badsecretmedia.com and you can check out all the links that we have. We have links to everything, all the good stuff and stuff, right?
Yes. And thank you very much again.
Yes. We appreciate you. All right.
You're a wild pack.
We got some social media to promote. We got a Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, at Secret Levels Pod. We have a Facebook page. We have a Facebook group that you can join. We'd love it if you did. We have some social media of our own. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Toby Von Doom.
I'm on both as well as Goobs WN.
Hey, and you can find me on Twitch at Toby Von Doom. My handle is Toby Von Doom on there as well. Come watch. I stream the games that we're playing for the show. We also do a weekly stream on Tuesdays at about 7 o'clock. Central Standard Time.
About 7 to 7 or 8 to 8:30 real time.
Yeah. But yeah, come hang out with us in the chat. and watch some commercials with us. But yeah, go follow me. That I'd really appreciate
it.
It's
very inappropriate and childish. It's a lot of fun.
Lots of fun. But yeah, lots of dick jokes. More dick jokes than normal. Let's put it that way. We are also part of the OIW Podcast Network. You can go to OIWPodcastNetwork.com, and you can find all kinds of cool wrestling podcasts, including Gilmy Talks, Alliance Pro Wrestling, It's Time to Fight podcast, Straight Talk Wrestling, lots of wrestling stuff, MLW Weekly Reviews, all kinds of stuff on there. Go to OIW Podcast Network and go check out some of the shows if you are a wrestling fan. And I think you should, yeah?
Yeah, we're the thick siders. We're taking over.
Because we're just too
thick.
What else do we got, Goobs?
Oh, we have our motherfucking Discord. Come join the family. We have a great time in there. There's a lot of cool people. Some fine folks in there, and we have a great time. And come in, there's the best way to meet me and Toby, and the Beans in there too, if you want to come talk to Jenny Bean. And a bunch of our friends that have been on the show are also in there as well, so come say hello to everyone. You might know a few people in there. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. We play video games, we talk about video games, pop culture, a whole bunch of different shit in there, especially wrestling. Oh man, do we ever talk wrestling.
Oh, we certainly do. Yeah, good place, good friends. Come hang out. Get to know us. Hey, you might end up on an episode one day, too. It's just like a lot of our friends. It
very easily happen. We do a lot of our Patreon stuff in there as well, where people can just jump in and listen to us live as we're doing it. So
yeah, good times.
Come check us out.
Yeah, and soon we will be announcing the date for the Winter Retro Olympics 2023. And a big shout out to Mass Keaton for really busting his ass this year. He is really putting us, whipping us into shape and stuff, trying to make sure we put this together. Oh, he's putting it together. Let's just be honest. He's putting it together, so we need to shout him out.
I'm a contestant.
I'm a host.
Will Goobs finally not lose?
Oh, I heard you've got a ringer in your pocket to help you.
I don't know if it's a ringer, but I got a mystery partner to come with me.
Can't wait to see who it is. But yeah,
no one's going to know until the fucking time of the show.
That's exciting. That is so exciting. So that'll be coming soon.
Well, I lied. Jenny Bean knows.
What are you talking about? I know, too. I'm just trying to play it up.
Ah, fuck you.
Anyways, but yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have some great shows on there. So, yeah, just kind of teasing it here. Just giving you the tip.
Yeah, just a little tickle.
Yeah. But that's it. Goobs, we made it through an episode.
Hey, look at that. We did it. We're back.
We're back. We're bouncing on our tails and jumping in penis worms.
Game over, folks.
I hate Secret Levels podcast.